America. People do now on the end of Ne'ilah service. There are many melodies like that. But the melodies which we consider Mi-Sinai, and that means are the Kaddish before the before the Amidah on the eve of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Kaddish before Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur morning, and the Kaddish before Musaf on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and finally the Kaddish before Ne'ila on Yom Kippur.
Can you repeat a little bit quickly?
On eve of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the Kaddish before the Amidah. Then, in the morning, the Kaddish before Baruch Hu and before Musaf. And finally, the Kaddish at the beginning of the Ne'ilah service, before the Amidah Ne'ilah service. Each of them is a different melody, and the character of the melody depends very much on the kind of melodies that you have in the Amidah or the Baruch Hu. In other words, it depends very much on what comes after that. So in a way, the Kaddish is related to that area of prayer that you have. So if we take the Kaddish for the Ma'ariv, how do you sing the Kaddish before Ma'ariv? One thing that is not allowed, and that is Yid Gadal V'Yid Gadal Shemei Rava. That is a Kaddish at the end, Kaddish Tidkabal, and not part of the Amidah. Okay, so anybody have any idea?
Before the Amidah?
After Ashkiveinu, and on Shabbat, after the Shamru. Okay, now that is from Alter, that is Israel Alter's rendition from his book on Yamim Noraim. Israel Alter was born in Lithuania. He was Chazan in South Africa and then went to the United States and became very famous because of his books for teaching Chazanut. He wrote many books for students. He was a teacher at Hebrew Union College and other places, and taught Chazanut from these books. He used these materials to teach. And it is quite good stuff. It is in the tradition of Eastern European melodies, but in this case the Kaddish is not much different in Eastern and Western European. So you can use this melody that you have in the Alter book. Where do you have it from?
That's a good question. Someone gave it.
That's the end of that's the handwriting of Alter. You can from a
Alter book.
You see it from a kilometer. You can.
We have other copies. Physical is normally Peter's handwriting.
But in
the Alter text, I think he was not using the most. Avery also, but Avery was later.
It's on the side. On the side.
In Lewandowski, in the Renowned Tfila, page 85, number 120, he gives you a Kaddish which is simpler than the one by Alter. And I must say, it's not the best rendition of this Kaddish. Ki gadol rikadah shemei rabah ve'almad yivrach yiruhutei ve'amlich malchutei b'chayechon uv'yomechon u'chayenechol b'eit Yisrael ba'agala v'zman kariv ve'imeru amen. And then he says, Das Folgenden nach dem derselben Weise. That means use the same melody. Mm. But he doesn't teach you how to use the same melody for the do the same. And so from that point of view, this is a weak thing. In the Todah Vezimra, there is really nothing which can help you more in that respect. And what he tells you is after he has the again Badenu and this, he just skips the Kaddish and gives you a notion that if you want to learn the Kaddish, you better go to Kovin Al-Tfilah. That doesn't help much. Okay, now, so what do we do? How to reconstruct that? We have a very beautiful reconstruction of that in the Lewandowski tradition, that means in the Western, by Max Czernowski. And I'm sorry that I didn't bring it to you, but if you remind me, email, I will send it to you. Yitgadol ve'yitkadosh shemei rabah Amen Ve'almad yivrach yiruterei Ve'yamlich malchutei B'chayechon U'yamechon U'chayei dechol Beit Yisrael Ba'agala u'vizman kari Ve'imeru Amen Yerei shmei rabah Ve'arach Le'alam u'lamei Amayah Yidbarach, ve'yishtabach, ve'yitpar, ve'yitrumam, ve'yitnasei, ve'yitalar, ve'yitaleh, ve'yitalar, shemei dekudesha, ve'richu, le'yaylah, u'le'yaylah, min kol bilchata, ve'shirata, tush bechata, ונחמתה באמירם בעלמה וימרו אמן. Very good. He took the Lewandowski and used it as Lewandowski, you know, hymns do like that, and so it's a very good arrangement, and I will send it to you. Which can be done with choir or without choir.
And for which occasion is this?
The Feast of Rosh Hashanah before the Amidah.
Yeah, okay, in the evening service.
Yeah, the evening service. Okay. Because why is it evening service? Because it uses uses this motif, and it is certainly integrated in the entire Shema and its blessing. The entire,
also for Nidre, also for Nidre service.
Yes. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur service. Yeah. You use the same. Since you're using the same motives for the from Baruch Hu on, then you can use. So I will make it a point. So please, if you can remind me to send it, because otherwise my mind goes off on different things. And
Czernowski.
I remember a setting with identical melody, what you're saying, with accompaniment of a keyboard, but also with choir parts.
Yes, it is. It exists with choir parts.
It begins with the dominant in the accompaniment. Then we have it already. Yeah. We have it already.
We don't do it. I don't know. No. We have some. It's very similar to Alter, actually. Yeah. The same material.
And I begin with.
As I said, the Eastern and the Western traditions here are very similar. There's minor differences. The Western one uses the Anina, da 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 da, the Eastern less so. So I ask that if you have the music or.
I doubt, because there's a very elaborate accompaniment with the chords and.
More modern.
Modern, yes.
Okay, so
I don't know who's seeing it, but it's worth hearing it.
I don't remember the name, but on top of it. The point. The writer, the arranger. It's in there.
Okay, the Kaddish before before Baruch Hu is related to the melodies of Hamelech. So in Lewandowski, he has etc. And he also gives you the thing about that you should complete the melody. So how are we going to go about it? There is an arrangement of this Kaddish, which is not exactly the Lewandowski, but it is a Western European tradition coming from Southern Germany, arranged by Samuel Adler. And it is more elaborate. It is arranged for voice and organ. Very interesting. And it goes like this. Chaim Hugo Adler. I assume that's where he took it. Now, this is this was published in the book Yamim Noraim by Transcontinental Publications in New York, and it is very valuable. The only problem with it is the following: Samuel Adler is a modern composer, a little bit of avant-garde. And he arranged the accompaniment in such a way that it would give the melody a very interesting twist. But it is very avant-garde in the... not very avant-garde. It is... Well, for avant-garde composers, considered very mild. Let's put it this way. So it is in such a way that the organ plays a kind of a counterpoint to the melody. And together it sounds very, very interesting, but not very easy for the organist or for the chazan to be in synchronization with the organist. So again, if you, I'll send you a copy of the melody, of the entire thing with the organ, and see what you can do with it. You can use only the melody, or if you want, or as I do in our synagogue, I use this deliberately. I want people to hear such a thing that I sing lots of nusach unaccompanied, but I want to hear this particular kaddish with this rather strange accompaniment. I'm not sure that the Kahal loves it very much, but sometimes I don't care. Sometimes they have to listen to something.
Most of us don't have the problem because we don't have the problem.
We don't have an organ.
So this is the Kaddish before the Baruch. Now we come to the Kaddish before the Amidah on Musa. And here there are actually two traditions, the older one and the newer one. And the older one is the German tradition. The newer one developed in East Europe, and I am not sure how, when exactly it was developed. I know that in the 20th century already people sang it with this melody, but I'm not sure how far back this melody goes. So let's go to, first of all, the old tradition of the Kaddish. Now, the whole tradition depended on the chazanim, and in the 18th century, each chazan embellished it a little bit differently. And when you have kaddish like that in the 18th century manuscripts, the chazanim did not write it to preserve the melody. They couldn't care less. I mean, supposedly every idiot knew the melody, so what's the big deal about writing it down? The idea is to show how I embellish it, what kind of fantasy I make out of this melody. Therefore, we don't have the exact melody as it was, say, performed in the 18th century, but we have all sorts of arrangements of things like that. Ravel's melody is one of these variations that you have. Okay, anybody remember the Ravel?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do.
Okay, somebody sing it, please.
Yidbarach.
this is a very
beautiful
rendition of this Kaddish, and it was meant to be before the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and can be restored to that glory. In other words, why not sing it? The only thing that you need to make sure is that you have a melody in the same style for Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach, then it should be the Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach. So once you have this melody for the choir, you breach the gap there in the Rabel. There was no melody for Yeshmei Rabba.
And this piece that you just sang, where does it come from?
It comes from a Chazan. We don't know who was the Chazan who gave it to Ravel.
Ah, okay.
Ravel did not invent it, and he, of course, not. Ravel loved to arrange. Not only Jewish, but also he had
ethnic
melodies. He arranged Greek melodies, right. he arranged Spanish melodies, and he arranged the Kaddish was paired with another piece that he, a Yiddish song, Feldivel Haral Tekashe.
Oh yeah.
So he paired them, the both of them. They were published together.
Right.
So he was also commissioning. It was not only that he loved to do that, but some publishers thought it could be very successful if he did that.
Milo did that too.
Hmm?
Milo.
Mio. Yeah. Milo. Yeah. He did. He did also.
I thought it was a custom at the time.
Yeah. The difference though was that Mio comes from a Jewish family. And he wrote Jewish music. He wrote he wrote a sacred service also. That's the difference. Ravel was not Jewish at all. Unfortunately, he was somehow ostracized by the Nazis because they thought he was Jewish because of that Kaddish and the. That's a different story.
Do you only use this Kaddish on the high holidays, or do you the Ravel Kaddish?
Yeah. He intended it to be used on the concert. He did not think about, what did he know about Kaddish before that. But that Kaddish is stylistically belongs to the Musaf service. Before the
It's funny that there's only one Le'ela.
No, there's two Le'ela.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in my score.
That's why
So it is certainly for the. Also, the same Kaddish that we use on Musaf is used at another time, and that is before, at the beginning of Slichot service. The Slichot service on the first day of Slichot, on Saturday night, before Shana. There is a Slichot service. Slichot service begins with Ashrei Yoshev Beitecha, and after Ashrei Yoshev Beitecha comes the Chatzi Kaddish. And the Chatzi Kaddish that is used for Slichot is the same Chatzi Kaddish that is the Musaf Chatzi Kaddish, the ones that you have now. Now, in the 19th century, beginning with Zulzer, they tried to simplify these melodies to give the essence of the melody. So Zulzer was one of the people who started that, and Lewandowski continued with that. So Lewandowski has another rendition of the same Kaddish, although at the beginning when you hear it you wouldn't believe it's the same, and it's much simpler, and he has it in two versions. One is the Korvin al-Tfila, page 109, number 173. And then, and this is for canto solo, without any accompaniment. And then he has a somewhat different version in the call in the Renaud Tfilah for Chazan and choir and organ. It's there. It is page 187, number 180.
That's for Dav Zimah.
To Dav Zimah.
Yes. Which number?
Number 180. So if we do, I'll sing it from the to Dav Zimah. This is also very good, and if you have a choir and organ, it's even better. In the solo version, he has some digressions. Which he doesn't have any other one, but basically they are the same Kaddish. You can use both sources, and there are some other renditions. There's one by Zulze, which is different.
The one from Yanovsky.
Just a minute. This is that's a separate story. Okay. So this is you have one by Naumburg, one by Zulze, which is very good, and all sorts of other Western European. They are all different versions of the same Kaddish. In Eastern Europe, they did the same Kaddish, and in the same manner, which they took from the Western tradition. They took it from the German tradition. It was a sacred melody, like the one of Kol Nidre. It had the same status. They kept it for many, many years, until one Chazan wanted, and we do not know who it started. I have a suspicion who it is, but I cannot... confirm that. A Chazan started to insert a tune and and it caught on. My suspicion is that it was a Chazan by the name of Yoshe Slonimer. Yoshe from Slonim. Slonim is the Lithuanian area. And he was named, his name was Altshuler. I suspect him, but I cannot prove it. I'm sorry, I cannot prove it, so I don't know if he is the one who did it. Okay. Now, because of that, the congregation loved it, because they could join in the Ravel Kaddish. The congregation can hardly join, not even in the instead of only for Yemeish Merabah Mivach can the congregation join, but even in the Lewandowski, you cannot have the congregation join in the Kaddish. And so the Chazanim loved it because they gave the congregation an opportunity to sing and participate in this Kaddish. And so you have in various Eastern European books of Chazanut, you have this version of the Kaddish. And there are all sorts of arrangements of that. There is, in the Great Synagogue in Jerusalem, they sing a version which Yitbarach goes, Yitbarach, Yitbarach, Ve'yishtabach, Ve'yishtabach, Ve'yitbarach, Ve'yitbarach, Ve'yitromah, Ve'yitromah. Like that, which I don't think, I don't go for that. But if you people want to sing it, then again, I suggest that you sing it according to the version of Mark Janowski. Mark Janowski made an arrangement of it, and this is what Gilad mentioned. I have the music. I can again send it to you if you remind me. I'll be delighted to send it. The Kaddish with the arrangement, it starts Yid Gadol, like this one, and then the choir goes Yid Gadol, Vikadash, Vikadash, Shemei Abba, Amen. Be'alma, the choir goes Be'alma, Be'alma, Divra Chirutei. Ve'yamlich malchutei bechayechonu I suspect it is version. But I cannot prove it. I cannot tell you that this is really
nostalgic to Ukraine.
Yoshe Slonimer was also the Chazan responsible for Ve'yal kulam Eloh ha-selichot Selachlanu mechalanu Ka'pelanu Ve'yal kulam So he was very prolific in this kind of melodic writing and inserted. That is my suspicion. All right, so we have the Kaddish for the for the Kaddish of the Yoshe Altshuler. He was called Yoshe. Yoshe is Joseph. Yoshe Slonimer, because he came from Slonim. Apparently he was quite a character, and he did all sorts of things, you know, to enhance the cantorial, the beauty of the show, or the cantorial show.
May I ask one thing about this there is only the refrain, there is not the in between?
What do you mean in between?
Well, the Yosh, what was that? It was the Al-Khay, right?
Yeah, no, there's no melody for Al-Khay.
For Al-Khay.
No, there's no melody Al-Khay because the congregation just said it. And the Chazan said, Al Chet Chatanu Fanecha, so in Nusach. Okay. And then the Al Kulam, everybody sang okay. with a melody. So So this is the Kaddish before the Amidah of Musa. Then comes the Kaddish before Neila. Again, it's a considered Misinai. That means it's obligatory for all Ashkenazi communities, and it is not only obligatory for the Kaddish, but the same melody, at least in most of the congregations of Eastern Europe, and some congregations of the Western Europe, it is also the beginning of the Amidah for Neila. So let's take a look at the show the Amidah, the Kaddish Neila, as you have it in Lewandowski. Yigadash shemeira. It's a version. I'm a little bit confused with another version, so let me just be. Okay. Now there are other versions.
That's something
In the Western Western tradition, which go Yigadahar Shemei Rabba.
Yeah.
And where
do they sing it? Where is it common?
This is also in Western European tradition, and probably older than the Lewandowski thing. The Lewandowski is already some kind of an arrangement. I'm not sure how much he took from German song, but in this case, but it's not the oldest version that that we have.
The amazing thing what you sing right now, I know from Norman, who wrote it for just 3 years, and then we were convinced to change it back. To Lewandowski.
Okay.
But this I know actually from Amsterdam. That's the way we did it. With very, very nice melancholic accords.
Yes. It's a mix of different styles, I think.
Yeah. It can be done in a some beautiful accords. So if you're used to Lewandowski, then do the Lewandowski. But in any case, there is also an Eastern European version. If you take the Neumann book, in the Neumann book, and you will see what happens there with that particular nusach. In Eastern Europe, they use the same nusach, but added melodies to melodic lines to that. You will see here that he has. He has the melody. This is an insert. There are also some melodies inserted. And then he gives you Nigun Aleph at first, Nigun, and Nigun Bet as a second Nigun. So it goes like this. Yeah, there are also some ways of doing it. These are always melancholic melodies, which are supposed to reflect the sundown and the dwindling of light before the Ne'ilah service, because the Ne'ilah service is supposed to be done at twilight, when it is not yet dark, but the light is becoming dimmer, and towards the end of Ne'ilah, there is a priestly blessing in the traditional service. There is a priestly blessing, and the halacha is that the priestly blessing should be when the sun is on top of the trees. That kind of melancholic reflection of the atmosphere is very nice. And that was in East York, Minhag. So you had melodies like melody A. Same kind of, and he has it in parallel six, And so it's very emotional when you have it parallel six melodies. So, but that is the and what is more important is that the way you do the Kaddish, you must do the Amidah. Mm. So, in the Lewandowski, you have Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu. So in the same way, if you do it in one style, you do the Amidah in the same style. Don't try to deviate, because the Amidah is the Chatzit Kaddish in this case is a musical preface to the Amidah.
And Amidah, you mean until the Kedusha? Or
no, until Magen Avraham.
That's to do Avot Gvurot.
No,
I know.
Only Avot. How do you do the Magen Avraham? How do you do the Gvurot then?
Atagibo. Right, yes, you can go to Atagibo.
And then you have the Mechalkel Chaim, which is...
Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed, you have always a melody for Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Yeah, for Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Lewandowski has various melodies for various parts of the service for Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. And for the Neila, he has... and he has, for every other service, he has a different. Sometimes two Mechalkel Chaim, you can choose one. This was a very popular spot. People expected for Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. One of the most famous Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed is by Itzik Offenbach. Itzik Offenbach was the father of Jack Offenbach. Yeah, he was a Chazan in Köln, and Offenbach and his brother helped him as Meshorerim. They sang as Bass and Zingerl. We talked about that that time, and they helped him in the synagogue. So, and Offenbach wrote for the synagogue when he was very young. So Itzik Offenbach's Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed goes.
Tobia was influenced by that melody. I don't know if I can ever prove that.
Russian
melody. You have many melodies in Chaim. One important feature in Mechalkel Chaim Bechesed. Could you sing Mechalkel Chaim, any Mechalkel Chaim that you know?
Okay.
חיי מתים ורחמים רבים סומך נופלים ורופא חולים.
Okay, stop here.
That's wonderful.
Please note. סומך נופלים. What does it mean? סומך נופלים. God who supports those who fall. And Rofei Cholim is the sick. Rofei is used to sing the melody. Rofei Cholim. Okay, go on.
Rofei Cholim. Mater Asurim, Om Kayem Emunato, Lishenei Afar.
Okay. Om Kayem Emunato, Lishenei Afar. And he keeps his promise or his faith to those who are in the dust, who sleep in the dust. That means to the fathers, mothers of the nation, who are now sleeping in the dust. And the idea is that you always have a going down melody for Umekayem Emunato To Lishenei Afar. This is another melody by Lewandowski. Mechayei meitim beramim rabim, somech noflim verofei cholim, umatir asurim, umkayem emunato lishenei afar. He stops here, and it's like sleeping somewhere. Micha, he starts a new Micha Mocha. And many Chazanim did the one that I sang to you by Itzik Offenbach. Those sleep in the dust.
Even recited version, he should lay off
in some of the nusachim you can use it in such a way that you go down and so Chazalim did this, use these things. So notice when you have a mechalkel chaim b'chesed, notice how the words are treated, especially. And sometimes they go in by degree, sometimes they are in sequences, musical sequences, they go up and so on, and then Mishnei Afar may go down or may stop, they may have a big ritardanto there for these.
Maybe question, did you finish the Kaddishim and now go?
Yeah.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
About the end of the sentences resembles very much the Chatima of Erev Sukkot. Something like that. Is it a coincidence or?
No, it's not coincidence. There is an affinity between some of the motives of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, especially in Kaddish and the Amidah, and some of the Sukkot, especially is there a relationship between the Kaddish of Ne'ilah and the Kaddish for Tal and Geshem, the Kaddish before the prayer of Tal and Geshem, when you could have said in the Musaf of the last day of Sukkot, prayer for rain, and the first day of Pesach, prayer for dew. And the reason for that is that in the Ashkenazi tradition, although Sukkot is a festival of joy, but it's still a continuation of the festival of the days of awe, the days of Yamim Noraim. It's why? Because according to Midrashic Talmudic tradition, if you think that your fate is sealed on Yom Kippur, wait a minute, it is really sealed on Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot. And because of that, people used to greet each other, Ktiva v'chatima tova on Rosh Hashanah, Chatima tova on Yom Kippur, and Gemar Tov until Hoshana Rabbah. Until Hoshana Rabbah. Hoshana Rabbah is considered a day of judgment. Therefore, Hoshana Rabbah, which is really a weekday according to Halakha, a weekday, has a nusach from Yamim Noraim. In other words, when you take out the Torah on Noshana Rabbah, you say Shema Yisrael, although it's a weekday.
Oh,
everything
goes back physically, even because it seems that the Rosh Hashanah was part of Sukkot first, and they're separated later on.
Yeah.
You saw that the Chemia piece we read last night. The day of fasting was on the 24th of the month. Whereas Rosh Hashanah, when they're reading this, is the was on the first. And this 24th is still in near the Sukkot period. So the movement of all the festivals, but they were themes intertwined already then. Very unclear how it could happen, but you can see traces of it.
So this is also reflected in the Nusach. In the Nusach you have, and you're right, there are some motives that but in some traditions, like in the German tradition, they try to differentiate it between the Ne'ila and the Sukkot. In the Ne'ila, the motive was and in Sukkot, the same place in the Kaddish or other place would be so there were some differentiation between these in some traditions. Okay, so we talk a little about the Kaddishim mainly, and I think what I wanted to cross
the
judge.
Can I ask a question there? We use at the end of the Nila for the Tikkabal something they call the Sukkot Kaddish, which is also the Kaddish on Sukkot. I wonder where it came from. What is it really?
It's a question.
Yeah,
what should it be?
To make connection to us.
Where did it start? Should it be like this? Should it not be like this?
Yeah, we can keep it. There's no reason why not to. Because, first of all, there is a Western, that means. German tradition that was prevalent in many, many countries, that you have special joyful melodies for the last Kaddish. And the last Kaddish is always kind of a joyous melody. And then, of course, on Simchat Torah, you have a kind of a mockery of the entire Yom Kaddish, and that is a kind of a mixed salad of all the melodies that you have, of the Nusach melodies that you have at Alamos during the year. So there was this kind of tradition that the last Kaddish should be a joyful one. Now, there is also another part of the cantorial tradition, and that is anticipation. I wrote an article about that. It is in Ashkenazi tradition, you always go forward and anticipate what's going to come.
This is this is a part of what we do. And just wanted, who wrote this Kaddish? Where does it come from?
I don't know.
I think that Jacob Schuttendorf, the former rabbi, in 1956, he brought it with him because he was brought up in the Orthodox community in Amsterdam. Bram Rosenberg knows those Kaddishim. He is the conservator of and he learned it again to me because the tradition of those Feierlich Kaddishim was nearly lost. I recovered the writing from the mouth of Bram Rosenberg.
From Paulo.
I think that Jaap Schuttendorf learned those Kaddishim to our community.
That's very interesting.
So
now we can put our hand a little bit on the historical development, mm-hmm. how it developed. But ultimately, who composed this Kaddish?
We don't know.
Nobody can know that. We know, sometimes we know. But in any case, to sing something in a melody that will come in a week or so is a tradition in the Ashkenazi world. For instance, on Shabbat before Tisha B'Av, you sing the Lecha Dodi, or at least one verse of Lecha Dodi, with the melody of Eli Tzion, which is a lamentation of Tisha B'Av. Lecha Dodi Likat Kala Perei Shabbat Nekavela Lecha Dodi Likat Kala Perei Shabbat Perei Shabbat Nekavela. And it is in the Lewandowski book you see that he has a Lecha Dodi in minor. But then the last verse, the very last, Boi v'shalom, Boi v'shalom, Ateret Barach. Boi v'shalom is in this melody, this particular melody, and it anticipates Tisha B'Av. And the same way, when you announce the month Rosh Chodesh, the Rosh Chodesh announcement is done according to the melody that will come in the next. There are various ways of doing it, like do Yechacheu in, for instance, Chodesh Kislev. Last week we announced the Chodesh Kislev. So you can do Yechacheu, and everybody knows, okay, we're having Hanukkah. And that is part of the tradition of doing it. Or before the announcing of the month of Nisan, before Pesach, can be done to the melody of Adiyahu. So everybody knows that. That became a tradition in the Ashkenazi synagogue.
That's what we will do, I think. I was just curious about this Kaddish. Because we don't sit, we sing it there, and it is the one we use for the Kabbalah, the Jewish support. So we have the connection.
Yeah.
And people feel it.
Yeah, that's a very nice tradition that you can do with it. In Berlin, and this year they did it, I heard it, in Berlin they had a tradition that before Rosh Hashanah, from the beginning of month of Elul, they sing Lecha Dodi with a melody which incorporates and they do that. As far as I know, it's a Berlin tradition. I've not heard it done in any other place.
Now, what is an Amsterdam tradition too?
Was it
from now on?
Now, what is an Amsterdam tradition?
Okay. So, and if you want the melody, there is such a Lecha Dodi. There is in. If you want, I'll give you the reference. There is one in. In Lewandowski, Chad Levi for Elul, but it's not in the here. I think it's in Todavet Zimra, but not in the volume that we have here. It's the first volume of Todavet Zimra. It has a Chad Levi for, especially for the month of Elul before Rosh Hashanah.
We also have a special Chad Levi for the 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's in minor. The idea is that it is in minor and not a jolly Lecha Dodi, but a somewhat more melancholic Lecha Dodi. There is also a special Lecha Dodi for Sfirat HaOmer and others. And the reason why for Sfirat HaOmer becomes sad, it's considered a place of wonder, especially in the Ashkenazi communities, because of the Crusades. Much of the massacre was taken between Pesach and Shavuot, and that was were considered in the Ashkenazi, Western Ashkenazi tradition times to commemorate the victims of the Crusade. For many years, centuries they did it.
Let me tell you that as May approaches here, and the Liberation Day and the Great Memorial Day, with the period between 18th of January up to the 5th of May, it's a difficult period now also because of all recent history.
Yeah,
why?
Of course, but the question is,
18th of January,
look,
The only problem with
the spring is the series of liberation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, alright, the question is how much should we do how much should we not do? Very freely. People need to think about that, because we can't turn the entire year into a mourning period. I mean, that's it's easily be done in Jewish life. So we have a problem there.